This is Wade Rathkin. You're listening to Wage World. It's Friday morning, 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time in the United States, and your time for the voice of the people. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wage World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, where KABF 88.3 FM is located, 100,000 watts, or the east side of New Orleans, Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay, points east and west, where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at www.kabf.org. A podcast will be available to the show on Monday at that website. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world, and today we are talking to Kim Hodge, Executive Director of the Michigan Alliance of Time Banks, here in Detroit, Michigan. Welcome to Wade's World, Kim.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
What in the world is a time bank? We better start with that. I know a little bit about it because I've talked to you before, but this is actually a phenomena of some sorts in some places. What is a time bank?
It is a phenomena of some sorts. A time bank is essentially a community skill exchange. It's a group of people who get together and exchange their time with each other, where 1 hour is 1 hour, no matter who you are and what you do. So you may teach me for 3 hours about community organizing, and you need someone to walk your dog. And that might be someone else. And so someone walks your dog, that person might need a ride to the airport, so someone else gives them a ride to the airport, that person needs a cook. So it's this way of a circle of giving, saying we all have skills, we all have needs, let's just match them up with each other, and let's get to know each other in our communities, where we often don't know our own neighbors' names and don't do any more than maybe wave to each other. So
it's a bartering system. It's not cash money, but it's a bartering system of time.
Well, we don't use the word barter because barter is tax deductible, and time because it's all equal, where everyone's time is equal with each other and there's no guarantee of getting something back. It's called an exchange, not a barter. So.
But barter is tax exempt?
It's not tax exempt.
Oh, it's
barter
not
is
tax
not.
Exempt.
Barter is not. Barter, if you do something for me and I do something for you, we're supposed to put a value on that and put it on our taxes. And this is not that.
Well, that's already an education here on Wage World. I didn't know that. I just spent, two mornings with my brother-in-law building the radio console for our new station in New Orleans. And believe me, I doubt a family is...
Well, we have to report
on our taxes, is it?
You never know with the IRS, do
we
you?
Never
we need
know.
To always be
we
clean,
never
don't
know.
We?
And yes. I'm sure you that I have a perfectly good record there and I record all expenses. Okay, so it's a time exchange.
Yes.
And this is big in Michigan. Yes, Michigan Alliance, I'm gathering there are multiple time banks in Michigan.
There are multiple time banks. I started the first one that I know of in my neighborhood in 2007 and 2008. And 2008, if you remember, was not a good time economically for the country.
Oh,
and
wow, yeah, we're still dealing with that, aren't we?
We are. And we had some pretty good press very early on because this was a good news story in a time when there wasn't a lot of good news. People from other communities wanted to join our time bank. And really, we wanted this to be something that would build our community where I live in Lathrop Village, Michigan, not the surrounding communities. So we had to say, no, sorry, you can't join our time bank, but I realized that we should be teaching other people to do this. So I created the Michigan Alliance of Time Banks, which is a nonprofit. It's a training ground, it's a support place, and a place for time bank leaders and enthusiasts to connect with each other. So that's what Michigan Alliance of Time Banks is. And yes, there are others.
So how many are there now in Michigan?
There are probably 8 to 10 that are still functional.
Wow.
At one time when all in the last 10 years.
Amazing.
And there were more which have started and since died out. So
the volunteer army marches at its own pace.
It does.
Sometimes it makes it to the goal and sometimes it doesn't.
That's right.
And so I know I heard you mentioning Pontiac is one where you're spending a lot of time. What's happening and where is Pontiac and what's happening there?
Pontiac is about 15 miles north of where I live, 20 miles north of Detroit.
Okay.
It's a city that used to be thriving when GM was there, and then GM left and the bottom fell out of the economic of the city. So lots of poor people, very little transportation, lots of struggling people, not a lot of hope. They were in an emergency manager situation for a number of years, are now out of that, but people are rebuilding. And I have some friends who I've been selling this idea of time banking to my friends who ran social service organizations and saying, this is a really big phenomenon in other countries, and it's being used to deal with things like mental health and seniors and youth and criminal justice and community development and regeneration. So let's figure out, how do we use this tool? Are y'all willing to put some skin in the game here? And there was a grant that was available from the United Way at that time, and we applied for a grant and got some funding for 3 years from the United Way to build a time bank skill exchange in the city of Pontiac, which they were interested in investing in. So it has been going on there for four years. The United Way is not funding us this year, but we got a grant. Well, actually, it's not a grant. It's a partnership with St. Joe's Mercy Oakland Hospital to create a wraparound program. So we built the time bank up in the city of Pontiac with about 250 people who are supporting, helping each other, making exchanges both individually and as a group. So we might come to your house and do a gardening project or paint a room or clean your basement, which has been flooded, or move you out if you've been burned out. These things have been done. And the hospital was interested in figuring out a way to support their patients who go home from the hospital who need supports. So we are not medical personnel who are going to come and check your blood pressure.
And you're not home care.
We're not home care. We're kind of the big brother, big sister mom who will come in and say, hey, you haven't eaten, or let's drive you back to your doctor's office appointment because you don't have a car and you need a ride, or
just go to the grocery store
or call you up and say, how are you doing? Because many people, especially those who live alone and maybe can't get out, need a friendly visit or a call to say, hey, what are you doing? How are you doing? And do you want to come to this knitting class? Or can we go to a movie together? Let's get you out and let's get you involved in the world.
How does that person discharged from the hospital exchange back?
Well,
or do they not need to, or how does that work?
It could be that they don't exchange back right away, and that they're earning time, or they're using time, which they can get from our social capital pool. When people who've already done things for other people that don't want their time necessarily or need it, they can donate it into a pool that's then available for others. But we don't actually expect the people who are coming out of the hospital to do something for someone else right away. Unless they need
to. After all, they're probably not in shape.
They may not be in shape, but you'd be surprised how many people go home and they need something to do that would give them a reason to feel good about themselves and not to wallow in their pain or their own struggle to get better. So they could make a call to someone else, in fact, and that's valuable. So if you had knee surgery 2 weeks ago, and I'm having mine in a week, it's good for me to talk to you, right? So that person could feel very good about sharing their experiences and their time with each other. It's not just a skill necessarily, like building a bridge or a ramp, but it's wisdom and time and loving conversation.
Well, time is time and exchange has value. Now, give me a sense of, you mentioned this is, when you were pitching or talking to people in Pontiac, that this is all over the world. And I think originally I heard it was very big in the UK for a while. So tell us give us a broader picture of these time banks if people don't have that much experience with them.
Well, it's still very big in the United Kingdom. There's an organization that we molded ourselves after called Time Banks UK. It's a similar organization, and it's meant to teach and connect and support local time banks in the United Kingdom. They're doing a lot of work with healthcare, with youth in Wales. There is a time bank that's in the prisons. Or a couple of prisons in Scotland that works with people who are in prison that are able to earn hours that go back to their family members. So maybe I'm in prison and I can't use the hours in prison, but I can give the hours back to my wife, who could get somebody to take someone to the ball game, my kid to the ball game. So it's a way, again, of saying we all have value and we need each other, and let's figure out how do we connect with each other in a way that makes sense for us. In New Zealand, where they had some earthquakes a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, huge.
Big earthquakes. The town that had the time bank was able to recover much faster because, number one, the people knew each other. They knew who had the generators, who had the saws, who was the carpenter, who would make food. They were able to identify what their resources were much more quickly and be able to recover much more quickly from the earthquake.
We're talking to Kim Hodge, who's the executive director of the Michigan Alliance of Time Banks, who's really taken us to school on time banks. So you mentioned social capital, and how do people keep up with the hours going back and forth or being set aside? How do you keep up with all of that? Because these exchanges, there must be a minimum. Is there a maximum?
There's no minimum.
It just boggles the mind. How do you do this? Yeah. How does this bank?
Well,
who's the teller on this bank?
It's a little bit difficult because people don't really want to track their time too much. And there is an online database that we use where we teach members to log in and to say, I did something for you. I'm going to take 2 hours out of your bank. They go into my bank. Now, most members, because we're friends, it will do this for each other, and they don't really care about the time. So it's a challenge for us to try to get people to record their time, but we need that.
Okay. Yeah.
We need to know, because we need to know for our funding purposes and what are we doing, how effective are we.
Are you growing?
We are constantly teaching people how to do it. There's also an app for mobile phones, which people can use.
Well, that's progress since the last time I heard about this, isn't it?
That is.
And it works well?
It works not as well as we'd like to. We always
like
want it to
improve. Like all mobile apps, then.
That's right.
Other than, you know, Facebook, I think, is the rest of us are all trying to see if we can get our thumbs around the phone.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So fascinating. But when people want to join, when you say we have 200, you have 250-odd mm-hmm. people in Pontiac, for example, how do they join? Do they enroll? Do they pay dues? Or you say, hey, I've got an hour and I want in, or I've got something I need. How do people do that?
Well, time banks all have their own way of doing it. Largely, there is a form, a membership form that people would fill out in some way, shape, or form, either on paper or through the database. We actually do an in-person interview orientation where people come in so we can do a gut check, especially for the hospital that we're working with right now. They're concerned about trust. They're concerned about liability issues. Who are these people? So we do some free background checks in the city of Pontiac so that we're assured that we've got good people working with us.
Uh-huh.
And the online method works for those who are computer literate. For those who aren't, we actually can buddy them up with someone or staff, or we have interns who work with us. They'll record your time, call you up and say, hey, what did you do? And I'll record it for you. So that's how it works.
So it's really just a form. There's no...
Right.
This not no money thing, no Bitcoin or whatever, it's just, hey, I'm ready.
Yeah, some time banks do have donations that are given to them for a family or an individual membership. So it's up to their own. In Pontiac, we don't have any fee structure attached right now. But there are time banks who do, because what you need in order to be sustainable over the long run, and I do want to tell you about the ones that have been running the longest, you need money, you need staff.
Sure.
So we got to raise money in order to be able to pay staff.
Is there other staff in Michigan Time Banks besides you?
There are not paid staff through Michigan Alliance, but we do have some staff through the Urban Senior Jobs Program, which is a federally funded program in Pontiac.
Like a VISTA for seniors or something.
Right, kind of like that. We have interns from a number of different organizations. So no other paid staff that we have right now, but we hope to be able to raise more funds and get more staff paid.
Sure. Now, is the time bank system growing around the country, around Michigan, around the world, or is it just sort of pockets doing well or trying to keep alive from place to place? What's the sense as you talk to your comrades around the...
It's still growing.
Uh-huh.
It's still a new concept that a lot of people don't know about, so we really love to get the word out. We appreciate the opportunity to tell people about what's possible and what is happening. There are time banks that have existed for many years. There's one in New York City that used to be run through Elder Plan, then with the Visiting Nurse Service in New York in the Bronx, and now it's with ArchCare, which is the Archdiocese and their Continuum of Care, and it's for the people who use their services. It's a great system. It's a couple thousand people. They do really, really well. There's a time bank that was run out of a hospital in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, that worked to keep people out of the hospital, to reduce returns to the hospital. They're working with some federally qualified health systems there to keep people out of the hospital and to get people healthy and stay healthy. There is a time bank, the longest running, I believe, in the country is Partners in Care in 6 counties in Maryland. They work with seniors, and they focus largely on two services. One is transportation, and the other handyman services. And they've been running for almost 30 years. It's a great system. And they sustain themselves largely through social enterprise with a thrift store, a boutique where their members come in and work in the thrift store, and they earn hours, and the money that's earned goes back to pay the staff who
run
the
time bank. Well, that's a very UK thing as well. United Kingdom has all these charity shops, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes there'll be three or four in a row. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just sort of... some of our members keep asking when we're going to do a charity shop with Acorn in the UK, and I don't know, but boy, they are everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So 30 years in Maryland is the oldest. So how old is the entire Time Bank operation? Is it, did it start in the UK originally? Or?
No, I don't believe so. I know that there was a woman who did work in Japan with seniors.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, this is not a concept that's a new concept. Obviously, people helping people has been going on forever and ever. But there was a system in Japan where a woman was working to support her mom and created a whole system of seniors uh-huh. where if I don't live in the same city as you do, I can help a senior. That money gets paid forward to someone who can help my mom who lives in a different city. That's, I believe, where it started. And then there
How long ago was that, Kim?
I think in the 70s. I'd have to look back.
Okay, so we're talking almost 50
right.
years.
St. Louis had a time bank for almost 30 years out of Grace Hill Settlement House. And that was one that was then discontinued in the last 10 years, maybe in the last 5 years. Various changes in staff and executive directors and perhaps not understanding the value or making different decisions. But that was a very long-standing, very successful time bank in the inner city.
Things happen.
So things happen, yeah.
And is there a time bank in Detroit itself? I know we're sort of right outside of Detroit mm-hmm. here in the community where you're originally organized, like in the village.
There is a time bank in Southwest Detroit where Bridging Communities, which serves frail elders, has been the host for 6 or 7 years now. There's another one in Midtown that's a little smaller. And there may be others. We have taught a number of these uh-huh. folks over the years, and sometimes they don't let us know what's still going on. I know there's still activity in a number of cities, but they're not always connected to us to let us know what's happening.
Sure.
So a little bit in Ann Arbor, a little bit in Ypsilanti, the Metro Detroit communities, Royal Oak, Huntington Woods, Ferndale, and surrounding communities also are in one, and I live in Lathrop Village, which is where we started it. So,
well, so the one that you originally organized in Lathrop Village seems a little still unique. It's more of a community-based thing. A lot of these seem more elderly-related. Am I hearing the wrong thing, or
different
off on a trail?
Time banks start for different reasons, and if a time bank starts to support a community, that's great. However, unless you're able to connect with a social service organization, it's going to be hard for you to find funding. So it's in order to sustain yourself, you need
to find...
So you're
sort of stuck at a smaller level.
You need to find a focus.
Yeah.
And be able to then tap into some resources that give you the ability to raise funds to continue. So Lathrop Village has never had paid staff, and we... Probably should if we wanted to continue to grow. We're a little bit stagnant. We continue to do interesting things with each other. We're having a bike ride this Saturday, a spring roll where people come out together, and later in the summer a music event in people's yards where we just roll from one neighbor's to the next neighbor. So we do a lot of different things, but we could do better if we had staff.
Oh, I'm
frankly.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, you always need organizers.
Yeah.
Can you get thrown out of a time bank? What happens if... somebody sort of rips off hours, or that must happen.
No. Actually, people don't rip off hours because they're always available to be had, and you can earn them by going to a city event, doing a cleanup, or coming to a class. So it's not the situation where they rip off hours. Mostly they won't record their hours. The only way to... We don't really get thrown out of time banks if you move, obviously.
Yeah.
Or if you've done something that has caused a lot of problems for someone that we might have to sit down and have a conversation with you about. Hey, this didn't work. What happened? And when you're in the community, you never know who's going to come to your door. And often the people who come are really needy people who are maybe on the fringes. And they have perhaps disabilities in some way that don't allow them to connect with each other as easily socially as would be good. So sometimes it can be a challenge, but we really strive to work with everybody because we believe everybody has skills and needs and value. So
we're talking to Kim Hodges, executive director of the Michigan Alliance of Time Banks, and we're learning a whole lot about it. obviously, one point you're making repeatedly is that sustainability, there's a point that you can get up to, but then that sustainable point or the growth point really seems to need partners like these institutions that mm-hmm. are seeming to recognize, whether it's prisons or mm-hmm. hospitals or whatever. Is that really one of the things that you've learned over the last 10 years?
Or? Oh, yes. I've trained a lot of people, seen people come and go. That's painful to watch your babies kind of die before floundering. And so you really want to find a way to say, listen, be smart. Let's connect up with someone and some organization that can help you to really grow and be viable. And so that's what we really recommend to folks.
So you try to probably not only get people to, like your 250 people in Pontiac, but get the hospital itself to be a promoter.
Right. That's exactly right. We want them to understand what the value is, not only to their patients, but they could eventually also be doing a time bank with their staff, with their volunteers. I mean, it can really spread and grow. And it's just a great way of connecting people, having people understand that we're not different from each other, especially in the world that we're living in right now, where there's so much animosity and hatred. Understanding that we do all put our pants on in the same way, and let's figure out how do we get to know each other better and understand and support and grow our communities together. So,
now, do you actually run the time bank in Pontiac out of the hospital, or is it separate?
No, it's separate. We actually have a partnership with the Pontiac Regional Chamber of Commerce, which has space that they allow us to use, and then we provide some life to the space. So they don't.
Life to the space. Yeah. You're exchanging something there, it sounds like.
We are. We're grateful for the space, and they did not have paid staff and needed somebody to kind of be there.
So, yeah, y'all are little busy bees running around their space, and that probably helps them when people show up.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Okay. So.
So what's what after the Pontiac situation, is there another time bank in Michigan that you feel especially proud of in terms of making breakthroughs in this area?
Well, the Southwest Detroit Time Bank, which is called Unity in Our Community, has existed for 7 years now. It's hosted by Bridging Communities, which serves frail elders, and they've stuck around and continue to grow in the city of Detroit, where we know there's a lot of need. And we hope that they will continue to grow and to make a change there. It's something that takes a long time to do, uh-huh. as we know, in community organizing, and people change, and you still have to put more resources and energy towards it. So we're really proud of them. The local time banks, our exchange time bank is a new merger of several local time banks, and it has started to accept people from various communities, which is good for the exchange. It's less important in terms of having people in a specific neighborhood get to know each other, though. So the smaller geographical base, then obviously the less you're going to be able to get to know your neighbors, but...
You know, it's still interesting because, you know, when they have studies about philanthropy or charity, when they look at lower income communities, invariably they, you know, exchange. They actually, as a percentage of income, and it's time, it's a sack of groceries here, it's a, you know, $50 there when somebody can't pay a light bill, but they invariably find that lower income families are more charitable than the rich. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, what is that your experience as well? I mean, it sounds like if it's Southwest is Detroit, that this is time banks are diverse in Michigan as well.
They are diverse. The communities that are in the metro area are pretty middle class. Mm-hmm. They are mixed, but largely middle class. And the Detroit and Pontiac time banks are not quite the same economic system. So in Pontiac, 70% of our members live below the poverty level, which is big. So I do think that everybody is charitable in some way, but people who are at the lower end know what it's like not to be able to pay your bills and to have to choose between buying food or paying your utilities, and so they're closer to the pain.
Well, I think they also know this concept of exchange even before they join a time bank.
Absolutely. I mean, they're doing it already largely.
Yeah, there's already a back and forth, and you just help me out, and I'll cover for you.
That's
I know as community organizers and we haven't said this, but Kim was a great community organizer, and you can tell from her work with the Time Bank that still lives on. But that constant sort of exchange, favor bank, mm-hmm. we used to call it, but that would seem to lay a fertile ground for a time bank system.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, do you still, I know when I talked to you about this several years ago, you had spreadsheets and Excel, I don't know if it was Excel or mm-hmm. whatever, but it was all a very mm-hmm. intricate system. Is that still in use, or is that continued to move
yes.
forward in
oh,
this
yes.
high tech? We're such a simple thing as exchange, but it's hard to keep up with, isn't it?
Well, yeah, the database allows us to create reports that show who's exchanging, how many hours, which things are being exchanged the most or have the most time posted to them. So we, in order to show our funders or those that we want to get to be funders or our partners that we're making an effect, we show them our numbers. How many people, what are the exchanges, and what's possible, continuing to tell the story.
So hospitals and prisons we've talked about, are exchanges popular in schools as well?
We'd love to get them more in schools. They're not really in schools here. We haven't
Isn't
been able
surprising?
To affect that.
I mean, you know, you'd think a big institution. Or... Mm.
I think they're really struggling to do the things that they're supposed to be doing, which is teach the children, and they
oh, God,
they
no.
can't
yeah.
quite get that. I mean, they're doing that, but thinking of doing something else would be difficult. We think it's a perfect place and would love to do it because obviously if you teach the kids, you're teaching the future. But for instance, giving time for grandparents or parents who come to help in the schools that aren't getting paid, that could be time bankable. Or PTA groups, or getting the kids to teach each other math. I'm good at math, you're good at history. Let's sit down and we'll mm-hmm. teach each other. So it's all possible. We haven't made any headway in the schools yet. We'd love to.
Well, it's obviously an opportunity, so let's hope we hear progress in the future. But you're certainly right, the schools are fraught now, and mm-hmm. it seems to be the basic plan from the government is more abandonment than it is, you know, entrenchment. And
right.
But none of us who've had children or, you know, there are always people who are looking. Beth used to, our friend Beth used to call them 100%ers. There are always people who are looking for a way to contribute, right. and it ends up as, you know, cookies and whatever, but this whole notion of tutoring that you just described, that would seem to be something that could be huge. Okay, so prisons, hospitals, schools, I'm trying to think of the other institutions you've mentioned that were coming up now. Urban agriculture, I've heard, is a growing thing in mm-hmm. Detroit particularly, and a lot of big cities. Mm-hmm. Is that something you find time banks participating in to some level?
A little bit. There's a community garden in one of our time banks.
Okay.
The woman who is a part-time staff person for Unity in our community is a farmer, and she does a lot of gardening and farming in the summertime and works with community gardening there. The community gardens that are in Detroit could be doing this, could be using this as a form of currency, but they haven't really decided that that's when I'd want to do it at this point. But they could be in the future. So.
Now, I know years ago we used to hear about all these sort of new currencies, like in Vermont or something mm-hmm. they were talking about, and a lot of those were time-based as well, weren't they? They were sort of other
right.
kinds of exchange
yes,
that weren't money.
Yes,
but
yes.
You can only do so many things. Now, when I was here last, one of the last times I met one of the early founders of the Time Bank movement, didn't I? What happened to them? Are they still alive and ticking?
Was it Edgar Kahn, who's
yeah.
at Time Banks USA? Okay, he's still alive. He lives in Washington, D.C. and
still active, or is
still
he left,
active. No,
he's, left the Time Bank movement?
He is still active. He is still with Time Banks USA.
Wow, because... Mm-hmm. I think he had some years on us, so he's hanging tough.
He is in his 80s somewhere. Yeah.
He's somewhere. Well, all the respect in the world for anybody there. Tell us how people can either, if they want to know more about the Time Bank movement, more about what you're doing in Michigan, want to get a hold of you and send you. I know money is, you know, it's not, but it's a valuable exchange. Tell us how they can do that, Kim.
Our website is mitimebanks.org. mitimebanks with an s.org, and there is a donation button there.
There you go.
That people can click on or send us a check. The PayPal account obviously takes some money out of your whatever your donation is, but we're happy for whatever it is that people are willing to do or send or to connect us with people. So that's the way, mitimebanks.org.
Is there an email address or
anything? It's all, contact information all on the website. People can reach me at Hodge Kim, HODGEKIM, at sbcglobal.net. And I'd be happy to connect them with resources or knowledge or people or whatever they're looking for.
Thank you so much, Kim Hodge with the Michigan Alliance of Time Banks. This has been Wage World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. We say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week when we'll have another guest, this is Wade Rathke for Wage World.